Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Are the days of Zechariah warned of upon us? Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Flashpoint. Where is going to be the spark that sends the world into the chaos that will allow the powers that be to bring on their Messiah, who is the Antichrist? With me, of course, is Stephen Bannoun. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you, Bonnie. It is not a good week.
No, not at all, not at all. So you were, before we started, let's get right into it. Let's not waste any time, because I think we have a lot to, you have a lot to share today. So you received a letter. This has been confirmed now by multiple sources. Would you please share the information you have?
You know, Bonnie, this is very, very serious situation here. You know, we've shared before with our listeners about sources I have in, connected to Israeli intelligence about in the not-so-distant future that will undergo a limited strike in this country. Now, that limited strike was a nuclear strike. Whether it be EMP attack or EMP coupled with actual nuclear devices detonated in this nation, but it would be in order to cripple the nation and bring the nation to a complete standstill. The nation would be invaded, and as a result, it would get very, very bad here. And this was from Israeli intelligence sources, and that, that basically there's going to be a genocide that's going to happen in this nation. Now, I know a little bit more about that genocide.
Welcome,
I'll explain a little bit later. But I was with a friend not too long ago and was discussing that very issue. I was discussing also information about Ukraine, what went on in Ukraine, how everything had been toppled there. And he let me know that he wanted to get some information into my hands, but we didn't want to discuss it because we both know they listen to everything. They listen to your phones. You know, if we were to discuss these things privately, then we would be together. That would just be a big no-no. So he was able to get this information to me, and I got it. And as I begin to read it, there's actually some coded information as well, but I'll have to decode that later. But in here, I was it was told to me,
And you worked decoding when you worked with the intelligence, didn't you? You're a decoder.
Well, I'm not actually officially a decoder. I'm an infiltrator is my specialty, but I did have to work with codes already, so. Normally, if you have done that and you want to share information, you kind of know what to do. And if you don't, you know someone that can. And I do know a decoder specifically as well. So if I can't decipher this, I've already got another source that can decipher it. So I just need to find out what that part is on here so I'll know for sure. So I'll be working on that. And that might be something I cannot share publicly because I won't share anything that I think would endanger U.S. soldiers or Americans, period, if that were the type of information. And I don't know at this point. But what I do know, though, endangers Americans, not though as a result of information we're sharing, but it endangers Americans because of the actions of the U.S. government and other governments around the world that it appears to be are working in concert together to bring about the demise of our nation. And this is where it troubles me.
Absolutely. I think every country, you know, it's interesting because I always have a current events portion of our Torah study on Sabbath, of our Bible study on Saturday. And, you know, I was just going over the 1973 vision of David Wilkerson on YouTube. He said first, I mean, just this morning, just a few minutes ago, I was, you know, every day I try to get something on the program finished. And he said, first, it will start with trouble, economic trouble in Germany. And we can see now there have been multiple write-ups of Deutsche Bank in Germany near death, that their junk bonds were giving twice the payout that normal junk bonds in Europe are being given as a desperate inducement to try and get people to buy these junk bonds. And the whole thing is probably junk. And that will be followed by, once there's a financial collapse in the United States, that this will be followed by racial war. And they're stoking this at every opportunity. This is why they're stoking it. They know the collapse, the financial collapse is near. Then it starts the race war, the race riots. And as soon as that hits and America is preoccupied, plus weakened because our own dollar has collapsed, that is when this happens, Stephen. And all this can happen in very quickly, probably a month. And it's very interesting. You got that letter on April, I'm not going to go there yet. You haven't even introduced that. Okay, back to you, Stephen. But it is planned. Everybody is working toward it, including our president, who is open up the southern border in hundreds of thousands, freedom of the press. He now is employing the Delphi technique. Send to me your complaints and we'll establish a committee and let's see what we can do about your being demonetized, deplatformed, kicked out, banned, all of this. All this is lulling the aggrieved into being quiet because they think something is done. So everybody is a player, including our own government to the very top. Back to you, Stephen.
Absolutely, Bonnie. It's not good. And the situation that we have right now is that in the month of April, and I won't specify the date on this, but in April of this year, 2019, there was a meeting that took place in Chicago, Illinois. It was the people that were there at this particular meeting were the delegations represented in the Western Hemisphere countries south of the United States of America. So everyone from South America, Chile, Colombia, Nicaragua, and don't kid yourself, Venezuela as well, were all here during this time.
And it was hosted by the United States?
Yes, it was hosted here by the United States. And, of course, there were three possibilities of what this meeting was about. Now, I personally believe it was a combination of all three. It wasn't specifically one or the other, but it was all three combined. And I know this because I have other sources that I'll speak about as well that can corroborate this information. But anyway, they knew that they would more than likely be a meeting for deciding the splitting of the drug territories and the profits, which when we get to the third scenario, that kind of goes by the wayside. But deciding on the splitting of the sex slave trade territories and profits, believe it or not, that does go on. And then, of course, the one that without question it is, deciding on the missions, responsibilities, and assessment for a continental United States invasion. Also, the rewards, the profits, and the territories following an invasion of the continental United States. So the meeting in Chicago, Illinois, had all Southern Hemisphere heads of state, many of them heads of state's delegation. They did not come in by plane. They were rendezvoused together. They were bused into Chicago, Illinois. It was done very secretive to where no one would know about what was going on. And of course, this meeting began. Now, I was also advised in this letter here as well, just some technical information to be aware of. And that is that there were Russian Spetsnaz, which are your Russian Special Forces units, their Special Commando unit, that have been brought into the United States and have been kept in secret bases in Salem, Missouri, in Denton County, Missouri, Crawford County, Missouri, places like that, that they had already been brought in. And the source I have also witnessed the construction of one of these particular places, facilities where these soldiers are actually kept at. I had a phone call from one source in D.C. that I spoke with that was able to confirm the information that I had received, that it is accurate information, right down to the soldiers that are here in the United States as well. And that there are sources that could confirm this as well, and that this information, the things in the demise of the United States, had actually began all the way back under the Obama administration, and that what Obama could not fulfill, they had to bring Trump in to finish it off. When I say finish it off, the information that I was given is that they needed Trump in the White House to galvanize the evangelicals in order to pass certain laws in this nation that would bring about the events that would eventually cause this country to go to war, and as a result would be the demise of the nation.
Like what kind of laws?
There was never specified which laws they were that would be passed that he could do, but they did say that they needed Trump in order to bring about the passing of those laws. And I was also told that that would also bring about the death of many Jews and Christians, those that live in this nation and as well as abroad, that they will be targeted in the war that comes to this nation. Now, that's interesting in my thoughts here, because as it was told to me as well from my Israeli sources, is that this is exactly one of the things that would be done would be a genocide in this nation. There would be a genocide that would take place after this.
Do you think it has anything to do with the Noahide laws, that they'll already have a list of people who have signed up, and you know, and they know where they're at? If you haven't signed up, you die.
Well, I think that's going to be in part, Bonnie. The Noahide laws are more so for the re-education afterwards. I know that they're going to separate families as a result. That's directly from Israeli intelligence source that I have there. They will separate families. I know why they will separate them now. The main purpose for the separation, in fact, my own source in Israel said that if you're not Ashkenazi, it won't be a very good day for you. But the purpose for separating is they're going to look at the marriages. Now, this is directly dealing with Noahide laws. It's not only the Noahide laws, but it's also dealing with the New World Order laws are going to pass. I actually have five sources altogether that I need to mention in this, because I was originally told by a source that had contacted me years ago that was, had identified that he was part of the Illuminati, because it's very interesting, because the things that he said to me then are what we're seeing today. And of course, it had a lot to do with nationalism. He said that the New World Order cannot truly go into full-blown order until they destroy nationalism, and that the Western Hemisphere would really become a smoldering keg over here, and those, if you really wanted to be safe, you'd be better off in the Far East. This will be where there will not be war. We'll be in the Far East. In fact, I was told the Philippines is one of the safest places you could be. But with that note, my Israeli source, with what he's saying about the genocide and to stay away from the FEMA camps when these wars come, which he did say to me, many people will go to the FEMA camps. Not the fact that they don't know the danger of FEMA camps, where it's been spoken about on the internet, but it will be because there will be no food. He also told me that they will not invade the nation at first. When they do the limited nuclear strike, it will cause such mayhem in the nation that the people will literally go to fighting one another because it'll go to chaos. He said we will end up having riots. They'll do an EMP attack. There'll be no electricity. There'll be no way to get your food from the grocery store. People that have stockpiled food, they're going to be the ones that are going to be targeted as well. And people are just going to be fighting for survival. He said they're going to do this so that basically you run yourself out of bullets. He says once the American population, after so many weeks there, have run themselves out of bullets attacking each other, he said then they will come in and do the ground invasion of this nation. That's Israeli intelligence telling me this information here. Then they'll do their invasion. So this is the way they resolve the issue. If they can't disarm this nation before then, is to basically run you out of your own ammunition. So that's what we got coming there. Now, the situation only gets worse, though. Nothing is getting better with what I'm going to tell you here. So I look at this information here, and like I said, I made a phone call to find out, if this information can be corroborated. And of course, it was corroborated. But then also, I have an old colleague of mine we had met not too long ago, and this is one of the very issues that we were speaking about then, was the fact that both Russian and Chinese had been brought into the United States on fast-track citizenships under a lot of alias companies that were being established that really served no purpose. But they use those companies in order to bring these people in. And, of course, once they're in, they've got them in. And, you know, if the company fails, it fails. It's not a big deal. You've got your soldiers in without ever raising the eyebrows of pretty much anybody, not to mention the soldiers that they brought in through the southern border, the ISIS militants that were brought in through the southern border as well, that they will use in this nation against the people. But what was really sad, though, is that I was told from my source in D.C. Donald Trump was brought into power, as I said, to galvanize the evangelicals. Now, they're talking about laws that need to be put in place. And as you mentioned a moment ago, Bonnie, you were saying, you know, do I know those laws? And of course, I don't. But I can only speculate that some of these particular things that were done under the Trump administration would be what would help to bring the nation towards the direction that would create the war that would happen in the Middle East that would spill over into the United States. And of course, one was breaking the agreement with the Iranians. That was one. A second one would have been moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, which is kind of ironic because in reality, we never really moved the embassy. We just used the very State Department building that we have in Jerusalem, and we call it an embassy. We still have the facility out there in Tel Aviv, and all we do is put a plaque on the side of the building, call that the embassy in Jerusalem. I think that was done as a result to try to incite the violence among the Arab nations. And so therefore, that's why I say I speculate that may have been one of the reasons. But as I was told, though, that it would take Donald Trump to be able to bring those on board that Obama could never reach, that both men were involved.
I wonder if another one would be, you know, if he passes and signs the abortion laws, that has just stirred a hornet's nest in this country. States now are you know, passing very strict abortion laws, which, you know, I think is good. I mean, I know it's good.
Yeah, but it's going to – all these things are going to backlash. And I think, too, even with the 7 Noahide laws, people think right now that these are – really no big deal, but they have no idea that the momentum that these Noahide laws are gaining. The United Nations is looking to include those in their writings as well. And, you know, but if you notice, Bonnie, everywhere the Noahide laws are, they're always attached to education. And when they deal with education, you can't help but wonder, is it because you do away with the older generation and you re-educate the new generation and these will be the mandates?
I think so. They know that, you know, anybody over 45 or 50 in this country is probably not going to change their ideas. But children are so plastic. You tell them you might be a girl, and, you know, if they're 5 years old, they might start thinking about this if it's a little boy. And, you know, who was it? It was George Lucas, Hungarian. Let me see. He was some kind of minister in Hungary. Illuminati helped bring about the Marxism. He was brought to the Frankfurt School, and he promulgated, well, you know, it's probably been known since the plains of Shinar, since the sins of Balaam. If you want to take over a country, you first have to attack the family, attack Christianity, and attack morality. And that is exactly what they're doing now with our school system.
They are, Bonnie. It's really a tragedy what's happening. And for those of you that are listening, we're talking about HJ Resolution 104-12. And it is put under the education sector of this law here that the Congress in 1991-1992 passed. And they did it by unanimous consent, which, as it was pointed out by Dr. Lorraine Day, she said, because her husband, he was a congressman at the time that this passed. Now, he did not sign on to this law, but he was dismissed. You know, Congress was dismissed the day they passed it. And only four congressmen remained behind And they did what they call unanimous consent, which that means you don't know who voted on it. You don't have a tally of not only who voted on it, but you don't even know which way the people voted. But it passes.
Yeah. That reminds me of, Congress voting on the federalized banking, the Federal Reserve in 1913. They did it just before Christmas. Everybody was gone. They get a small handful in there. Yep, it passes. And boom, everybody comes back after Christmas and we have a federalized banking, a strong central bank, something which had been fought over in this country for over 100 years. I mean, that was when this country was conceived as a country, a big deal was, should there be a strong central bank? And those who knew history versus those who wanted to control America have been fighting at it ever since. So, yep, it sounds like the same people using the same tactics now, 200 years later, over 200, 240 years later.
Yeah, it's really bad. And, the one source I had as well, one thing he said to me when he's talking about the genocide that would happen, what people don't understand, Bonnie, is about this genocide. There is a real push amongst some of the radical Talmudists to bring about not only the seven Noahide laws for all the Gentiles of the world, but that, and they openly are stating this, that all Jews will have to go under Talmudic law, under the 613 mitzvot, as they call them, which that's not, there are no 613 laws in the Bible. They're just not. That's just a number that's made up. A lot of these are Talmudic laws that they're including in there. One of the things they're going to include, though, Bonnie, that's very disturbing, and we've seen this firsthand happen to a believer in Israel recently, and I'm not at liberty to call his name, but it's a friend of ours that he's a believer, he's Jewish, he made Aliyah before he became a believer, he married a girl, she's a Gentile, and the court in Israel threw his wife out of the country. Because she was not a Jew, and threatened her by violence that she was to renounce her marriage to her husband, which she refused to do. Well, that's one of the things that they're going to enforce. That in the New World Order, one of the things that they're going to enforce is that if you are Jewish and you are married to a non-Jew, you are going to have to separate and divorce the non-Jew, and they will do it by force. So any Jews that are out there that are not married to Jews, they're going to be separated and forced. Now, the weird thing is, they believe that they are fulfilling scripture, which is really a strange scripture to say that they're fulfilling, which is Ezra 9, chapter 9. If you look at Ezra chapter 9, this is where we find out that the Levites and the priests and the leaders of Israel had been chief among marrying in of the people of the lands. And as a result, Ezra later, he says you have to divorce your wives. You mix the holy seed with this corrupt seed here, or some people would identify that as Gentiles. But what people don't realize, Bonnie, is that Ezra chapter 9 is the one link in all the scripture that proves that what Yeshua was saying in Matthew 23 when he called the Pharisees and Sadducees a generation of vipers, that Ezra chapter 9 was linking his very words to prove that not only were Jesus's words true, Yeshua's words where he says that they were vipers, but it also connected the reptilian race to the Nephilim race. And how we know this is because in chapter 9, the very first verse, Ezra says the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, the Ammonites, and the Moabites, etc., right? Well, if you go back and you look at the biblical history of what actually happened when Israel was coming into the land, when there were giants, and Joshua, and Caleb, along with the 8 other spies, a total of 10 spies, they come in, they spied out the land. They go back and they report that there were all these giants in the land, and they were saying that they could not, you know, they were so big, they ate the inhabitants. They were cannibalists, just like the Nephilim were back in the day before that. And we find that in Numbers chapter 13 when you're actually looking at this. And when you get to the last verse, it identifies they were Nephilim.
Yes, yes. All throughout Numbers, a conquest of the land, they're still running into these giants. You know, we have to break here, Stephen, so stay with us, everyone, and connect with us on the other side.
Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Are the days of Zechariah warned of upon us? Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Okay, and here we are back for the second half. Thanks for joining us. And Stephen was just talking about how the priests had mingled themselves with some Nephilim races in Canaan and the ramifications of that. So, Stephen, take it away.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Bonnie, is that when we're looking in the book of Numbers in chapter 13, and we go into all these different families that were living in the land at the time, that where we have the giants. If you go back and look at the original scripture where Moses said that God is going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, and I believe that's found in Exodus, it's actually Exodus chapter 3. This is where Moses meets God on the backside of the desert there. He's down there in Midian, and God tells him he's going to give him a land flowing with milk and honey, right? Now, the thing is, though, is he also task him with destroying the people of the land because they were an evil people. And he says, literally, when you get to chapter 8 of Genesis chapter 3 there, it's Mincha Aschachu, you know, it's from the land there, a land that has the Patsi, and I don't know if I'm going to say these right, the Vehati, the Kanani. This is in Hebrew. I don't know. I forget the exact, I have to look at the English again in a minute to tell you what they are in English there. But all the names that we have mentioned in the book of Ezra, yeah, the Paratsi, which is, I think it's the same, I think it's pronounced similar anyway, and the, you know,
yeah,
your Ammonites.
Perizzites.
Right. You have all these different groups there, and they are the exact same people that are mentioned that they had mixed the seed with over in Babylon. Now, notice, though, these are not Persians, though. That's what really gets me. They're not Persians. They're in the Babylonian Empire, but they mixed with the very seed that God sends the children of Israel to destroy because they had mixed in the Nephilim race. And that's what we find out in verse 33 of Numbers chapter 13. There we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, who come of the Nephilim. Now, they don't put the vowels correct in here because we know this in the Hebrew language. The Nephilim is spelled with the extra yod. When you read the word Nephilim, it's without the extra yod. And so, therefore, Moses was trying to distinguish the fact that Anak, and Anak, by the way, is not Enoch. It's A-N-A-K in English, or Ayin Nun Kuf is how you spell his name in Hebrew. He was from one of the fallen angels. That's what's clearly what it says in the Hebrew language. But his sons were considered the fallen ones, like we would have before the flood. So because of that, and the reason why I bring this up, because of this and what Ezra brings out, that the ones that were guilty of marrying in amongst this very people here, which are Nephilim, but according to the book of Numbers, so what we have here is that, and no doubt they had fled. They fled the sword of David and stuff back before then, ended up in the Babylonian Empire. So they married in amongst them, and Ezra brings that out, that they had not separated themselves from them, And then when we get over to where Yeshua speaks about it in Matthew and the Gospels there, he is calling them serpents, vipers, generation of vipers. The Hebrew Matthew literally says the seed of vipers. And that's how I was able to realize that with Yeshua pointing them out, that there was a direct link. Now, I got to throw something in here, Bonnie, that's very important on this subject, though, because if not, it's something that threw me off for a long time, and maybe it'll help people better understand it as well. The entire time you read in Matthew chapter 23, Yeshua is doing nothing but upbraiding the Pharisees and how evil they are and how can they even escape the damnation of hell. Then all of a sudden, at the very end of the chapter, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have hovered you as a hen would her own brood, but you would not." He said, "Your house is left to you desolate until you say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" So that has caused many scholars to believe that when he called them serpents, that he only meant this as a spiritual application. But if you take and read in the book of Matthew, the Hebrew Matthew that's preserved from 18 fragments that have come down, the Jewish people have actually preserved this. And what one compilation of this is in George Howard's Hebrew Gospel called Shem Tov's Hebrew Gospel. And if you go in there in Matthew, chapter 23, and you look at verse 34. Now, I'm going to read it only in English. I have it in Hebrew, but it's the exact same verbiage. And this is what helps clarify that Yeshua didn't just address the Pharisees. He says in verse 34, it's a little different than our verse 34. It says, "At that time, Yeshua said to the crowd of Jews, 'Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets, sages, and scribes.'" So he was addressing the Pharisees as a race of serpents. But when he turned to at that time while he was speaking to them, then he turned to the crowd of Jews. And of course, he sums it up at the end saying, "How often I would have hovered you as a hen with her own brood, but you would not." Now he's dealing with those that are not necessarily mixed into these races during their time in the captivity of Babylon. And now it makes sense why he says, "I wanted to hover you, but you would not." Why? Because they were so controlled by the priest, they had no mind of their own. And this is why they were unable to do anything about it. And I'm finding the same thing today, Bonnie. It's exactly what's happening in the world today.
That's just what I was going to say. These are the ones that promulgated Talmud. These are the ones that control. These are the ones that say they're the holiest of thou. These are the Hasidic. These are the real, and they're going to control Judaism. That have actual Nephilim demonic blood genes.
And now listen, when there's this one guy, he's a mayor, I forget what city it is, but he's looking at possibly throwing his hat in for running for president of the United States. Some people that brought him to my attention, Boudier, I think is how you pronounce his name there. I think, they were saying, "Oh, he's going to be, some people are saying he's going to be the Antichrist because he's got, he speaks seven languages and he claims to be a Christian, but yet he also claims that, homosexuality is normal." And to me, that's just a decoy. I hate to say it, but it's a decoy. And it'll suit the evangelical groups very well. And I don't agree with anything about the guy to begin with, but just to show you how suave he is with his the people, is he was calling some of the people here in the government, he was calling them a bunch of Pharisees. Well, the Jewish community reached out to the man and they love him too. They said, "You can't do that. Pharisees considered a derogatory term if you use it like that." I'm thinking to myself, you guys are so gullible, because to begin with, the Orthodox Jews of today consider themselves Pharisees. I guess that's why they don't want the term used, is because they are considered to be Pharisees. And there was a big to-do over this let me see if I can find this here. I got it probably somewhere here about this. It's actually, I think it's in the Times of Israel where this was brought out. Yeah, it sure was. Times of Israel by Moshe Mordechai Zudan. Van Zudan was the one that wrote this. And he said the U.S. Democratic religious Buttigieg was immediately confronted when he used the word Pharisee despairingly. He was not aware that it was insulting for Jews. After initially declaring that it can be used for hypocrites, he quickly learned he was wrong and apologized and won't do it again. Well, let's face it. According to the Jewish Virtual Library, the Pharisees, the most important of the three, and I'm quoting from their own website, were the Pharisees. They're talking about the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago. They are the spiritual fathers of modern Judaism. They're not just the spiritual fathers. According to Rabbi Tovia Singer, they are the direct descendants of the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago. This is why they're passing laws right now, Bonnie, in this nation. And this may be some of those laws that my source in D.C. was speaking about that Trump needed to pass, and that would be the anti-Semitic laws. Because anti-Semitism laws, if they were just to protect the Jews against just hatred, period, I'd be all for it. I would sound the alarm as well, because I don't believe in hatred towards Jews. Because the problem that we're discussing, that we talk about, has nothing to do with the Jewish people per se, but it is dealing with radical Talmudists that are trying to enforce and impose on American people laws that are unconstitutional. That's where our argument comes in. Same one we have with Israeli News Live. It's not, you know, if you want to have Noahide laws and you want to apply that in Israel because you believe that this should be done, okay, Israel has a right to make their own policies. But as American citizens, we still have our First Amendment of free speech. And when, like in the case of Florida, passed the anti-Semitism law just recently and then signed it in Jerusalem, of all places, that was improper to do, for one, to sign it in Jerusalem because we're America. But the thing is the bill was not only about hatred against Jews, it was also to silence all college and university students from being able to speak against the state of Israel on any level. They're not allowed to criticize the way the military handles the Palestinians. They are not allowed to speak about boycotting Israel.
This is exactly
what I'm actually looking at Israel. Although I mean, when you get to the policies of Israel, I'm not for boycotting the state of Israel. I don't think that that resolves the issue. I may have a different opinion about how much military funding we give the state of Israel when in reality the Americans pay the bill for it, and Israel is a debt-free nation while we are steadily going under. So I may have issues with that, but that has nothing to do with boycotting. So it's really a serious situation that I see that is growing, and these laws that are being passed, and of course the seven Noahide laws, some people may not even realize how serious that is. It's if you look at the seven Noahide laws from an outside, they don't seem to be that bad. But the one law about idolatry, which these laws come directly from the Talmud, it's from the laws of kings, it's from the Mishnah written by Rambam of Maimonides under the section of the Mishnah of the Torah, which is highly regarded by the extreme Talmudists. Most of them are from the Chabad organization, which President Trump's son-in-law is a member of that organization. Now, that doesn't mean that he agrees to this particular law. I don't want to say that he does, because I have never heard his opinion on it. But there are many extreme Talmudists, though, that clearly identify, and they quote Rambam on a regular basis in modern society, that Christianity is a form of idolatry. And according to Rambam in the Talmud, the Christians are to be beheaded for breaking the one of the seven Noahide laws. So this is why it's dangerous. At this point, they just have an under education. But all they have to do now, Bonnie, is what we see coming from the intelligence sources that I've got, five different intelligence sources that have told me the things that are coming to this nation. If you break the backbone of this nation, send this nation into chaos, cause a war, come in here, conquer the people, guess what? You have a new world order. And that's what I was told by the elite guy that spoke to me years ago they were going to do. They needed to say, he said to me, they didn't only just need to break the backbone of the United States, he said, but they would also have limited nuclear bombs that would strike Russia. But Putin made provisions to protect his citizens. weapons. We might get one or two nukes off over there, but they've already made the provisions to deal with it because he knew he would have to play the bad guy in this particular war. And by the way, Bonnie, and I know I'm speaking nonstop here, but Iran is the catalyst what sets this war off. It's not that Iran is the great threat that that John Bolton is making Iran out to be, although I have his intelligence sources in Iran as well, and my intelligence sources say that it was Iran that actually did the drone strike in order to tell America to back off. If not, we will target economically your country so that you will suffer economically. But the Iranian people, the Iranian government really does not want a war with the United States. But they got to bring the Iran down as well, because unfortunately, Iran has never signed on to the aspects of what's going on in the world for pushing for this new world order. But at any rate, I was told by my Israeli intelligence friend that we would see that Hezbollah would be taken out, Damascus will be taken out, the Israel and the Saudis will go after Iran with the help of the United States. Russia will get engaged at that point. Once Russia gets engaged, Russia will then use its assets to do a strike on America, and then summarize this, after the strike on the United States, the country would plummet into chaos. While the country was in chaos, there was infighting in the nation here. Millions would end up dying as a result of this. We would pretty much spend our bullets out in fighting one another, and that once that is done, then they will do the ground invasion on this country. And that's what's coming. And of course, you know, Yana had a vision about that, the ground invasion part herself, before we even knew this information. And she told me that in the vision she had that we were inside a tall building, and she said there were massed armed troops going through the building. And she said it was like a scene out of the Holocaust. She said they would go from room to room, and they would kill the people there. And she said that, you know, she knew, she said she saw the people trying to find places to hide. She said, but they had the technology to see in behind the walls where you were, which they do. They have heat sinking devices that can detect the human body in behind walls with no problem. And she said, and so they would just shoot through the walls and kill the people. She said, so she realized that there was no way that hiding would do any good. So she just said, God, if I'm going to die, I'll die just standing right here and not try to hide. And the angel of the Lord came down right when she said that, and he wrapped his wings around her. And she said it was like being in a white tube. And when they came to the room she was in, they could not find her. And the angel said to her before, right when he wrapped his wings around her, do not fear. They will never see you. And then she came out of the vision.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I have heard, read other dreams, not really visions, not waking visions, but I have, read other dreams where this is it. You know, if you're in a home, people in the home are gathered in a circle praying. They come to the room, they can't see you, and they leave.
Yes.
This, by the way, is why one of the reasons that lead-free paint was mandated, it was certainly not, because children were chewing on the walls. I mean, I've had, care for 2, 4, 5 children, and a lot of time. You know, my own two, a grandson I had for 4 days a week, and then these two days a week. I've never seen a child chewing on a wall. But anyway, they can't hear and they can't see through it. So anyway, the lead is a barrier, just like when you go to the dentist and they put their lead aprons on if they want to x-ray your teeth. But there is safety in the will of the Almighty, and that's where we must be. Increase your prayer time, increase your Bible reading time. That's the only time that the Spirit can change us from the inside out. That is phenomenal.
Well, you know, Bonnie, the thing is, too, is that the lead-based paint was also banned because they knew with 5G they could not get the 5G to penetrate through the house. And the 5G is also, they've created a technology, by the way, too, and I haven't shared this with our listeners, that in the New World Order system, they've already created the technology, and it will be used with 5G to do so, that they will be able to know what your thoughts are. So if you're thinking it in your brain, it's kind of like when Yeshua says, as a man thinketh with his heart, so is he not with the brain. But as you think with your brain, they will know the thoughts of your heart. If you are your brain, excuse me, not your heart, if you are against this New World Order, if you do not are not obeying the Noahide laws by from your heart, they will still put you to death. So let's say you're a believer in Yeshua, but you're going to try to hide it and pretend to obey the Noahide laws, and then secretly you will still worship the Lord. They already have your number, and they will kill you anyway.
Yes, I think the only thing protecting us from that is the helmet of the helmet of the hope of salvation. It is the armor of of the Almighty, and you know, if we put that on, you know, he promises that he will protect his own. So don't get discouraged, everybody. But you know, remember the order. Well, remember all the armor. It first starts with truth. What is truth? How does the Almighty want to be worshipped? What are his laws? You want to live in his house? What are the rules of the house? And that, of course, is found in, you know, every word that proceeds out of his mouth, the scriptures from the first page to the last page. And the second plate is a breastplate of righteousness, where you put on obedience to him. If you love me, keep my commandments. So that's just for anybody out there that thinks they can do what they want and then cry, Lord, Lord, and, you know, they're going to be protected. We have to bring our lives. If we want to live in his house, then we have to obey the rules of the house. We have to find out the rules, and that's the only way we can have hope of being protected. And if our number is up, you know, Father, just as Yana said, take us home. Remember me when you come in the clouds of glory.
That's it. That's exactly right. And you know, Bonnie, I guess moving on into the issues that are caused, that will set up the wars that are coming. How much time do we have left anyway, so I'll know how far I can get with this?
We have about 3 minutes. Four is pushing it.
Okay. Well, let me just kind of sum it up then. If we look at the events that are happening right now in the Middle East, then we have a really good gauge of where we're at. All this talk right now of possible war with Iran is the very straw that will break the camel's back and everything. If we really do go to war with Iran at this time, and it's not looking good, I can tell you the source that I have in Israel says that this is more than likely going to be the real deal this time. I know Trump came out the other day on Fox News and he said that, like, for example, he wanted to get the troops out of Syria, but the deep state made him stay. You know, and he may be very sincere from his heart about that, you know, so I don't want to throw the guy under the bus completely. But the bad thing is that he knows the part he's playing on the other side. He knows that the American people will be sold out.
Yes, I think he does.
Yeah, he's got it safe. He knows his family. The very obvious part of this is that Ivanka Trump, her husband, Jared Kushner, and their children are being taught Chinese.
Yes, she wears that red Ivanka wears the red Kabbalah string.
Okay, then. So just think about it.
Yeah, just think about it.
Now, that's another issue that's a big problem, too. Will she get to stay married to Jared Kushner when the New World Order starts? All right. Only way she could is if they can prove that her mother's really Jewish. Now, that may be so, because according to the Judaic law, you can't go by your father. Now, there's already proof that he's Jewish that's just not really made public. So we won't go into that. Really, what we want to look at right now is the issue with Iran. We are really on the cusp of going to war with Iran.
Trump is Jewish?
Yes. I know this from another source. So much for what people think. Maybe that might make more sense why he makes light of the things that he makes light of. But we're about to go to war. Something people may not be aware of either is that Israel and Russia were very close, and so in Turkey as well, going to head with one another just recently with this issue going on around the border with Idlib. And of course, Israel trying to bring their planes in to strike at Syrian targets while Russia and Syria are working on taking out the jihadists in Idlib. That was a very close blow that no one has known about thus far. We reported about the fact that Israel did target around the Damascus airport. But there, from some of the sources I have, Russia did engage directly with Israeli military planes to push them them back into Israel because of, you know, Russia's there trying to deal with the U.S.-backed al-Nusra and al-Qaeda fighters there, bombing there. And it really, I guess for Russia, what it was is this is an inappropriate time for Israel to be striking in on Syria when they're trying to deal with the situation on the ground and you've got all these planes in the air. That's never been made known. I've not even made it known on my own channel either, Bonnie, but we're very close.
Well, I know that Russia motivated, and but I didn't, you know, I never heard what they were doing. But we're out of time, brother. It's 26 minutes.
Again.
Yes, again. Any one sentence you want to get out before we close?
Oh, yes. I was told by my DC source there are going to be many Jews that die, and it'll start off with that, then it will hit the Christians. And I have a feeling that that's what causes the United States to go to war, is they're going to allow the elite in the government of Israel will allow a major strike to hit Israel in order to bring the U.S. into war, and they're looking at 1 million soldiers to be sent to fight.
Wow. Okay, we have Shavuot, which is Pentecost, which is an 8-count, which is new beginnings. It was the time that the Torah was given from Mount Sinai, the first time, the time the outpouring of the Holy Spirit after the crucifixion, and here we have another one coming. Is this going to be new beginnings? Is this going to be the entry of the time when the Almighty stands up and said, you know, Satan, you've had this world long enough. It's time for me to take back rightful ownership. Please pray toward that goal. In the meantime, thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us. Thank you, everybody. And Father willing, we shall see you next week.
Thank you.